Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Russ and Leah Bain. Russ and Leah, how are you all doing today?
Doing good.
I have an amazing day. It's getting cold out.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you all both today. And Russ and Leah are here to share their testimonies with us today. So whoever wants to go first, but just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Ladies first.
I was born and raised in Harrisonburg, grew up in a family of five. I was the oldest. My father was a police officer for the city of Harrisonburg, so that presented some challenges growing up. We were brought up within the church. We attended church for a long time, and then at some point in life, we kind of got away from that. But then as my parents got older, we got back into church.
What about you, Ross?
I've born in Baltimore, Maryland, and bounced back and forth between here and there most of my life. Spent the first 8 years there, then moved here till I was 15, moved back to live with my uncle and aunt, and was there till 19, and then ended up back here in the valley and haven't left. Don't plan to leave. Keep me out of Baltimore.
So, Leah, you talked about growing up and your dad, he was a cop for Harrisonburg. Mm-hmm. And anything you want to share about that? And also, you said you grew up in church. So, what was that, either of those two things?
Well, with my dad being a police officer, he was strict. He was very strict when it came to certain things. As I became a teenager in high school, he would pull over my friends sometimes when they were driving, and that was awkward. Back in the day, when I was in high school, the big thing for us as entertainment was to cruise what we called the strip over on Carlton Street, and we would do that on the weekends. And some weekends, my dad would be out there, and that was kind of embarrassing. You know, he'd tell you to park the car and go home. You shouldn't be out there doing that kind of stuff. But no, we grew up in the church. We attended Bridgewater Baptist when I was a kid. We did all the Sunday school things and the Bible school things and did all of that. But at one point, we kind of got away from the church because we had attended a church here in Harrisonburg. And I remember as I was older, I was a teenager, and my dad came to church one day in his uniform. On his lunch break, you know, he took his lunch break during the service and came to church, and that didn't go over very well. It didn't go over very well with the people in the church, and I don't know all the details. I just know they didn't like him being there in his uniform, and that caused issues, and that caused my family to step away from the church.
Sorry to hear that. Russ, you talked about going back and forth between Baltimore and this area and different households. Talk about how that was, because that seems like be rough for a kid to have to deal with it just back and forth.
Well, as a child, it was very tough for me. We were very poor. I was talking to Leah one time, like 22 homes that I've lived wow. in before I graduated. And that's just what I remember. We had my dad was an alcoholic. My mom was an enabler. She did her best. But I just remember us moving everywhere. So I never really got to put roots down anywhere as far as for myself. I didn't have a good male role model in my life until I was 15 when I moved in with my aunt and uncle. So it was a tough life growing up. Faith was the only time I remember faith was we went to Arbor Hill Church of the Brethren when I was maybe 10. And I don't know how long we were there, but I remember hearing a conversation where the pastor was talking to my parents and telling them they needed to tithe or they needed to find another church, and never went back to church as a child.
Yeah, there's things that people say that you don't. Maybe the intention was right, but it shouldn't have been said as an ultimatum, because tithing is a choice. It's something that God, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And moving 22 times before 18, I can't imagine the instability or the angst that must cause. Like you said, you weren't able to put roots down. You mentioned that you moved in with your aunt and uncle, and that was the first time you had a male influence. So you want to share about the influence of your aunt and uncle in your life?
But yeah, what happened was it was right when my parents got divorced. I believe I was 15, and my mother was working in Harrisonburg. We were living in Stanton. She was working in Harrisonburg and working at, I think it was Marvel at the time. It was one of the chicken places downtown. And she would leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I just wouldn't get up and go to school. I had no motivation. Mm-hmm. I had always been great in school and just gave up. And whether it was God working in my life or whether it was just me making a great decision, I just told my mom one day after many visits from truant officers that I want to move with my aunt and uncle. Is that okay if I ask? And she said to go ahead and ask. And I did. And I moved in with him. And he was a retired army, and he was strict. He kept me on the straight and narrow and showed me a lot of what it is to be a man. And seeing the relationship with him and my aunt and, you know, and how he parented my niece, it's just, that's how I learned how to be a man. And it took till that to understand that life in general can be better.
Yeah. Leah, you were talking about the bad experience that your family had with church when your dad came in with his uniform. So how long was it that you were away from the church, and what brought you back to the church?
It was a long time. We didn't go back to the church until my mom was working at Sunnyside Retirement Community as a social worker. And one of the chaplains there, he was also a pastor at a small church, Bethlehem Brethren, here in Harrisonburg. And he invited my mom to go. And my parents started going, and then they got us back into church. You know, she would be like, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. And then slowly I started going. And Russ and I were married at this time. Uh-huh. So, you know, we're adults at this time. Uh-huh. He and I are married. And then he started going with me. And that's pretty much how we got back into church, was going through them.
How did you all meet each other?
That's quite an interesting story. Through friends. I worked at Long John Silver's in Harrisonburg. He worked at Long John Silver's in Waynesboro. And we had friends that introduced us, and we met at a party, and I was actually on a date with someone else when I met him.
Yeah, it's strange how it happened, but I mean, that's the way the Lord works.
Right.
I wouldn't even really say we hit it off at first.
No, we didn't.
I was just like, you know, she seems pretty cool. So after the party, she went her way, I went my way. And about a week later, I said something to, there was a girl that worked with her that ended up coming to work with me. And she was kind of like the in-between person. And we just went out on a date and saw the Mighty Ducks 2 many, many years ago at where our old church is located now, at Faith Community.
In that old movie theater, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's just, everything went from there.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Proof that things don't happen by accident. It's God's divine, you know, the fact that you had coworkers that worked together, you ran into each other at a party. Those things don't happen by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think those are God ordained, that has the perfect person.
And what, we've been together, 30 years now?
Been together 31.
31, sorry.
Almost married 30.
Listening to both of your backgrounds, it seems like there's some similarities. You talked about your dad and being in the police force and being tough, and you talked about your uncle being a retired military, and so kind of similar, not totally similar, but there's some overlying. But how did you mentioned that you all, what in your faith journey, like as you got married, what was life like as a married couple in the faith, and whatever you all would want to share?
So, you know, we thought life was really good before we became saved. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had some issues and the bottom fell out. And we ended up separating for a short amount of time. We ended up going to counseling. And when we separated, that's what brought me back to Jesus. That's when I started attending church on a regular basis. He started, when we got back together, he started going to church with me. But I will say we had a Christian counselor, wonderful Christian counselor.
She was.
And she helped us through everything. If it hadn't been for her, I don't know that we'd be here today.
And if you don't mind me asking, how long was it after y'all got married before the bottom fell out, as you spoke?
It was 13 years. It was our 13th year. We got married in 95. This happened in the first part of 2009. So into our 14th year of marriage is when that happened. And I mean, it was just a situation of, you know, Leah was working a lot and I was just a bad person. I was an angry person. I had been angry for many, many years since I was a teenager. And I was just not, I really was not a good person. And it took that Christian counselor and coming to faith to change me to who I am today, which is completely just a 180 from the person that everyone used to know back then.
I just thought of this as you all were talking, the influence that this counselor had on you all, and basically from what I'm hearing, helped save your marriage, that and the Lord coming.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What would you recommend if maybe there's a couple listening today that's struggling in a hard place and maybe they think their marriage is done or maybe they think it's beyond repair? What would you encourage them on? Maybe counseling, maybe some other things, you know, obviously leaning on the Lord. But what would you all have to say, somebody that would be listening?
The first thing I would say is pray. Pray for God to move in your marriage. Pray for him to show you what you can do to make your marriage better. Russ is absolutely right. I was a workaholic, and I have a tendency to still be a workaholic, and that caused a ton of problems. Unfortunately, it got to the point where it came to a head.
Right.
And, you know, I was concerned about my career and moving up the corporate ladder. And in the meantime, you know, I wasn't taking care of my family. You know, I was like, oh, Russ will be okay. He doesn't care if I come home at 8 o'clock at night and then turn around and go to work the next morning at 8. You know, I wasn't there for him like I needed to be. And that counselor, the counseling was amazing. It was the most amazing thing I think either one of us had done. You know, when you're married, you know how to push your husband or wife's buttons. We know how to do that. And that just teaches you not to do that and other ways to communicate. And, you know, Russ is an angry person. One of the things she had told me, yes, you used to be an angry person. One of the things she had told me is that, you know, when we're in the middle of an argument, give him a hug. And I'm like, you want me to give him a hug when we're in the middle of an argument? And she's like, yes, because it just makes everything stop for a minute. And it just makes all those emotions and everything that you're feeling and all that anger just stop for a minute and remember you love each other.
Right.
You love each other and that, you know, you're there for each other. And that even though this may not be the thing you want to go through at the time, that you're there for each other and that you can get through it together. She helped open up the waves of communication. Russ is not a huge talker, and she helped open up communication between the two of us.
Well, and prayer is key, too, because God uses people like he used this counselor, but really he's the one that we need when we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. He's the one we need to reach to, and prayer is the main way to communicate with him and for him to communicate with us.
Yeah, I think a big thing with that is we started doing things together. We started to go to church together. We started to pray together. We started to have dinners together. And the communication is key when you're in a situation like that. And you tend to want to start doing things solo and then expecting the couple to get back together. It's not going to happen. You've got to lean on to that communication, lean on to each other, and then find, whether it's a counselor, find a couple that you know that are happily married, talk to them. Sit down, especially if they're Christians, sit down there and talk to them and say, hey, can you help us get through this? They will.
And you all being married almost 30 years are a testament that God can change things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about the bottom falling out and being separated, I can imagine that the second half of your marriage has been totally almost like describing two different marriages. Oh, almost like
completely two different marriages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We share what's on our minds. We don't hold back. That's the big thing. You know, if something's wrong, we let you know, let the other person know now. Well, it's a small thing before it becomes a big thing.
Yeah, I used to keep my mouth shut until I was at a level 10 and then explode. I was like the volcano and then just explode. I've never laid a hand on her. It's just not in me. But I was not easy to be around. And now I get to a level 3 or 4 and I'm like, look, this has got to stop, or this is what's going on. And it's made a huge difference. It's
transparency. Just, it just has.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a set of rules that we follow when we argue. And, you know, if someone needs to say, I need a timeout, I need a minute, that's okay. You know, so, and that helps too. That helps us too. Not that we argue much anymore. We rarely argue.
Those arguments went from probably once every week or two to once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's very rare.
Mm-hmm. And you have to compromise. That's another thing when you're in a marriage, you have to compromise. It's not always my way and it's not always his way. You know, we find a happy medium.
Right. And I think about something as y'all were talking that I've heard my dad say before, and it's probably very true. But, you know, home is where we go when we're tired of being nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's like we hold it together at work or church or wherever it is. But like you said, when we're with family, we know how to push each other's buttons.
Yes, we do.
Not necessarily that we do it intentionally. Maybe sometimes we do. Maybe,
I do.
But we're just, it's kind of like our safe place, though. We're safe being ourselves. But sometimes that can, if we're not careful, that can have the negative effect. That we hurt the people we're closest to the most.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russ and Leah, I'm going to just say how I met both of you. I'm involved with Operation Christmas Child, and Leah used to be involved with Operation Christmas Child locally with a local area team. And I think it was, so that was before you all started coming to church here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. And it was shortly after, I believe, y'all started coming here that I met Russ for the first time.
Dodgeball.
I believe Pastor Billy and I were signed up on the same team. And we do this with the youth, but, you know, families are invited. And I remember, I guess that day, Pastor Billy had made the announcements about dodgeball. And I guess Russ had come up to him and had asked about playing. And I guess Billy had said, sure, you can play on my team. Well, then I think circumstances, Billy wasn't able to play. So he's like, hey, this guy Russ Bain reached out to me. He's interested in playing. Here's his number. And so I call Russ. It was like a Friday afternoon. I call him. And then later that day, we have an OCC area team meeting with Leah. Not even knowing that Russ was Leah's husband, we get to the meeting. And Leah's like, she's like, you just talked to my husband, Russ, earlier today. I was like, oh, that's your husband. So if you don't mind sharing and whatever you want to share, what brought you here to the Church of the Nazarene?
Literally a coin flip. We had left our previous church for various reasons, and we were sitting there one Saturday evening. Where are we going to go to church tomorrow? We've been going to several different churches, trying them out for a few weeks, and I'm like, you just pick. And I remember saying, you know, I wanted to try Aletheia, and we wanted to try here, and I'm like, it doesn't matter, Russ, you just pick, whichever one is fine. And he's like, okay, let's flip a coin. And that's what we did. We flipped a coin, and we came here. And first person I saw,
2019?
Yeah, first person I saw when I walked in the door was Edie, and she greeted us and had us set with her. And then I realized, you know, you were here. Amanda Roadcap was here. Crystal Huffman, several people that I knew were here, and we never left. We just stayed.
Honestly, I didn't know that you didn't know that Edie went to church here, because I thought, you know, because there's a number of people from our church on the local area OCC team. I figured, oh, well, that must have, when they were looking for a new church, her connection with Edie must have been what?
No, it was a coin flip.
It was 100% a coin flip. The Lord brought us here.
50-50
chance.
Well, if y'all would like to talk about the areas you're involved in and serving the Lord, and not just here, but areas that you've served in throughout since you've been involved in church, and kind of the importance of serving.
Well, of course, I did OCC, and that was a lot of fun. I'm in children's ministry. I'm up there with the kids in Kids City 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. And it just fills my heart. I love those kids, and I love being with them, and I love them trusting me to tell me their stories. I love being able to share God to them through all the different stories and just being there to talk to them. That's where my heart is with the kids. I also serve in INEV during Esperanza Viva. I serve two Sundays a month there in Kid City and enjoy hanging out with those kids as well. I've seen a lot of kids change and grow in the Lord through these programs that we have, and it's just amazing to watch.
Thank you for your service, and I know that that's, I feel more at home with the teenagers, but everybody's called for something different, and talk about the body. Not everybody can be a hand. Not everybody can be a foot. And I know you served, you know, this past year, you helped lead a Bible study, Russ, so if you want to.
Yes, we did a Bible study, and it was really good. We had 8 to 9 men there, and I'd love to do it again. We'll see if Pastor Billy, you know, has an idea or something like that, or I'd be happy to lead it again, or, you know, just to be involved. I can't do a lot of morning stuff just mm-hmm. because of work. But right. As far as, like, volunteering, right now I'm in kind of a weird spot. It's between my schedule at work and with the kids and Leah teaching, it's kind of a weird spot mm-hmm. for me. I did spend a couple years serving with Marsha with right. FCA.
Right.
And loved pouring into the young man over at Bridgewater College. And that kind of fell apart when COVID hit. And just kind of trying to find my footing again as far as, you know, where the Lord wants me to serve. I've spent a lot of time just pouring into other young men's lives that, I mean, there's a couple of them I've spent probably hundreds of hours with. Wow. And helped them kind of, you know, between the Lord and myself. And now he's worked through me of getting them straight, and, you know, they're doing great now. And now I don't hardly hear from them at all. I kind of miss it. But I think that's just the Lord's way of saying, you know, you did what you were supposed to do.
Right. Well, talk about the importance of mentoring, whether it be either of you, because mentoring, you talked about young men and you talked about pouring into kids, just the importance of using the passions and the gifts God's given us to impact others.
Well, I've found that I've used the hard portion of my life and what I've learned from that in order to be able to get through to a lot of the men who just won't open up about things. Because I've been through a lot of things that some of the guys I've talked to were like, well, I thought I had it bad. You know, and then they realize that life isn't quite so bad and they're focusing on the wrong things. And I've just tried to put some time into getting them to focus on what's important. I'm a cup half full type of guy, and most people run around these days and they're a cup half empty type of people. And, you know, one little thing goes wrong and their whole day is ruined, where I don't stress over things because I know that if the cup's not half full right now, it will be soon. And the Lord knows where my cup is, and he yeah. will fill it for me. So I just don't worry about stuff like that. And I found being an open book, like you know that I am, is very helpful in order to get other people to open up.
What about you, Leah, as far as serving the kids?
I think just showing up for them. You know, a lot of people think you have to know the Bible inside and out to teach the kids, and you don't. Right. You're just showing up for them and being there for them and just letting them know that you're there. There's been several kids that have had sports activities, and I go to their softball games, baseball games, soccer games, you know, just to let them know that we're there, right. You know, just so they know that they can feel that they can talk to you. And it's all it is. It's just showing up for them and being there for them.
Well, the ministry of presence, Dad always called it the ministry of presence. And that's the idea, just showing up in people's lives, not trying to fix anything, just I think the best of, I've heard this before, the best ability is availability. Whatever, yeah. Whether it being available to young men, being available to kids. And I mean, I know that's the secret, Leah, when I work with the teens, is showing up week, being consistent, mm-hmm. yeah. knowing that you're there for them and pouring into them. And how many of the lessons are they going to remember that we share? No, but they're probably going to remember. And same with you when you worked with FCA and different things. They're not going to remember the lessons. It's the relationships that you've built with them, the trust that they know that they can come to you if they need anything or have any questions. So I think that's very important. Also, we're in a life group together, and that's important to do community together. Yes. So if y'all want to share from y'all's perspective what you've gotten out of life group and the importance of doing life together as a Christian community.
Again, it's about being in community and being able to know you have other people there that are praying for you. I know Russ prays for me and I know my mom prays for me, but to know that this group of people, you know, when you give your prayer request and they're on the prayer list, knowing that they're going to be praying for you and that they've got your back.
I enjoy the just getting together and laughing and having a good time, giving each other a hard time like I do with Scott or Brian. It just, it's something I kind of miss in my life is I've never really been able to have real strong bonds with other men. Every time that's happened, something's happened and they move their own out of the area or they go their own way. And so I don't really have a lot of that bonding with other men. I miss not being able to do stuff here in the mornings, and there's not much in the evenings for men. So I'm hoping that changes over time and I'll be able to kind of get more into the flow of that. But that's what life group does for me. Right. I just enjoy the bonding and the getting together, cooking good food, eating together, sharing, you know, breaking bread and just having a great time and then talking about the Lord.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I agree with the having people to lift you up in prayer and the fellowship, whether it be eating or sharing in devotion or whatever, Bible study, whatever it is. And, you know, even the goofing around, you know, relationships. Building relationships with people and doing it on a fairly consistent basis, I think is important. You know, the Bible says, don't stop meeting together as some has gotten in the habit of doing. Christian community is important. Obviously, we have God and we have each other, like you all have each other, but it's nice to have other fellowship with other believers. In addition, like you said, you know, you had Russ to pray for you, you have your mom to pray for you, but having a life group, you have a whole group praying for you also. So we call this program Hope Talks. So what brings you all the most hope right now in your life or one thing that you can think of?
What brings me the most hope? I mean, I'm 51 years old now. I mean, my hope is that we spend the rest of our lives together. I mean, that's my biggest hope. We've spent many years developing a good, strong core of a marriage with God at the center of it. And my hope is just to relax. Life has been tough enough. I think I've did all of my hard part of my life. I want it to be behind me. And if it's in front of me, then I've got what's behind me to lean on. But my hope in us as a relationship and for us in the Lord is that the worst part's behind us and we can kind of cruise into our sunset years.
That was well said. For me, I agree with what Russ said, but what brings me hope is those kids. Seeing those kids memorize the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. When we're in worship and you see a kid that you, you teach up there praising God and seeing them raising their hands and singing and maybe even dancing a little bit, you know, that just brings me hope because that's our future. That's our future. Those are the kids that are going to hopefully lead people to Jesus when I'm not here. Yeah. And seeing them grow and wanting to be baptized and seeing them want to share their testimony, that brings me hope.
Leah's a teacher in a loan officer's body. There's many times where she gets up in the morning and her knee will be hurting or she'll just be struggling. She'll be like, I really don't want to go today. And by the time she gets home, it is story after story after story about these kids of their just quirkiness or the things that they say. And she'll come home and for about a half an hour, she just unloads all this stuff. And it's just, you can tell it brings joy to her heart.
Well, a lot of times get involved in serving because we're like, we want to serve the church. We want to do good. But oftentimes we get as much out of serving as we do putting in to serving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Russ and Leah, it's been great to have both of you on Hope Talks today. Just in closing, anything else that I haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you would like to share?
I think we've covered just about everything.
Yeah, I think we're good. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Yes, it's been fun.
Yep, it's been great to have you all, and it's great to be in life group with you all. So thanks for being willing to come in and share your testimonies today. I know it's brought me hope. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I hope and pray that as you've heard Russ and Leah Bain's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.